I love this lead-in music. It's like the best lead-in music ever. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Sorta Sophisticated. I'm your host, Pete, sitting here with my excellent co-host, Amanda. And today, like every other day, we're just trying to introduce some topics that, one, we hope make you a more interesting human, and two, might shift your perspective a little and help you marvel at this beautifully diverse world of ours.
Well, that was a fabulous intro, P.
Wasn't it, though? I'm in a good mood.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Let's see if it continues.
Well, we will, won't we?
Well, what's our topic going to be today to make us a little bit more cultured and curious?
You ready for this?
I think so.
Today, we're going deep, Amanda.
Oh, dear.
Something sacred and deeply significant to our 50th state in the union. It's called Hawaiian Independence Day.
I am totally here for it. My best friend actually dances hula.
What?
Yep.
Do I know your best friend?
Brittany.
Can I know your best friend?
Yeah.
I know your best friend. She dances hula. That's so awesome.
She does.
Let's go. Did she like learn it when she was a little kid?
She started, I think, in high school.
Oh, that's so cool.
I danced for a year with her.
Oh, that's very nice. My only exposure to hula was through the movie Lilo and Stitch, which is totally howly of me. I totally know.
I mean, I challenge you a little bit. I think your exposure to hula was at the luau that you just went to with your kids.
Okay. Maybe there's
maybe,
that.
Maybe.
Okay. Fine. So I've had a little more exposure. I've had two exposures. You remember the show Northern Exposure?
No.
That one wasn't about Hawaii at all. That one was about Alaska, actually. So unbeknownst to me, until I did all my research, Hawaiian Independence Day is celebrated every year on November 28th.
Yeah, but it's nothing like the 4th of July, right?
So yeah, nothing like it. So Hawaiians like have this really, really complicated history with the United States. And many Hawaiians, let's be honest, they're just pissed that they had to become a state in the first place. And that's why we're doing the episode.
Yeah, so we can learn something important about other cultures' history. And I mean, that's the whole point of our podcast, really. So if we can shed a little light on this complicated relationship, as you said, and spend some time exploring the history of Hawaiian sovereignty, we can learn to appreciate how this day represents resilience, cultural pride, and the enduring spirit of the Hawaiian people.
And that, Amanda, I would say certainly checks the box for being more cultured and curious. Am I right?
Absolutely. And I do think this is going to be a good episode for sure. So why don't we jump in it?
You always think they're going to be good episodes.
You know, it's...
You're such an optimist.
But you pick such great topics.
Well, thank
How
you.
How could they not be?
Oh, thank you very much. I bet you say that to all the boys.
All the boys.
Right.
All right, then. Well, why don't you give us a story behind Hawaiian Independence Day?
Wait. Okay, word of the day first.
Yeah, I always forget word of the day. Sorry.
Okay. All right, you ready?
What is it?
Inchoate.
Inchoate.
Yes, inchoate. From the Latin word incoher, which means to begin.
So it's to begin?
No, so close. So it's actually used as an adjective that means vague or not yet fully formed or developed.
Like how all of your thoughts are, usually.
Wow. Okay.
Sometimes.
One could say that.
Most of the time.
If one was so inclined to be mean. Yes, like my thoughts. Or, you know what? Maybe like our friendship at this point.
You always you just take it to the next level.
Well, I mean, you know what? You can go
You're such a one-upper.
Go incoherent.
Not only with your stories, but with being mean.
You're such an incoherent.
Did you not listen to the last podcast about kindness?
Hater.
All right, PSA time. Anyone who is listening out there, do me a favor. I need anyone, someone, a warm body to think of a good word of the day and send it to sortofsophisticated@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram. And if you want extra credit, tell me how to use it to make fun of my co-host. If we pick your word and use it in an episode, we will be sure to give you a shout out on air. And I guess to that end, if you want to go big and send in an episode idea that you are passionate about and hopefully know something about, and we use it for a future episode, we'll invite you to be a guest host and sit here with us in the studio where we both make fun of Pete. Please, we totally need your help.
How is this
help
fair?
Sister out.
This is terrible.
Why is it terrible?
What do you mean make fun of Pete? Just invite people to be co-hosts. Why do you got to make fun of me?
Because if I don't claim that first, then you'll have them make fun of me.
Get off your PSA soapbox, please.
All right, then give us the basics on Hawaiian Independence Day.
All right, are you ready? Here we go. Let's start with the fact that nobody even calls it Hawaiian Independence Day. I'm so white, okay? Just like, let's just start there. It's actually called Lakuakoa. Okay, wait. I have to make my own PSA right now.
After you tell me to get off my box.
Right. So
go
you
ahead,
say, okay.
Get on your box.
So I'm about to say a lot of like Hawaiian words that I'm not going to say right. And instead of me saying, I don't know if I said that right, I butchered it. I'm going to say right now, I don't know how to speak this language very well. I'm going to do the best I can.
And this is why we need people to give us topics so they can come and they could be our co-host who would correctly pronunciate this.
Because this would go a lot better if we had some native Hawaiian in here being awesome and excellent and telling us this real story instead of some white person.
From their perspective.
Absolutely.
So Amanda, for next time.
Let's work on this. Folks, we need your help. We're going big. This is getting serious. Okay. So the name of the day is actually called Lakuakoa to Native Hawaiians, and marks the day in 1843 when King Kamehameha III pulled off the impossible and achieved international recognition of Hawaii as an independent nation. It was a big deal. Like, a big, big deal. It involved a little diplomacy and a lot of luck and determination, but he totally pulled it off. I love Kamehameha.
Like, recognition from whom, though? I'm a little confused.
Yeah, okay, so good question. So I was too, right? Like, what, is there some, like, big governing body that recognizes people? Right.
So, I mean, maybe.
God. Okay. I had to look it up. So I figured this all out. Apparently, there was something known as the Paulette Affair, where in February 1843, British naval officer Captain George Paulette temporarily seized control of Hawaii, claiming it for Great Britain. But King Kamehameha III was like, hell no, and started protesting all over the place. So he sends a bunch of dudes, Timoteo, Halilio, William Richards, and Sir George Simpson to Europe to convince both Great Britain and France that they had to let Hawaii be a sovereign nation. And BT Dubs, he also did the same thing in the United States, I think, to get backing. And somehow it all worked because probably they brought a bunch of huge Hawaiians along with them. Who are we kidding? And on November 28th, 1843, Hawaii was officially recognized as an independent nation. A historic moment for sure. Shout out to, I guess, Britain, France, and the United States, who were sort of in charge then? Question mark?
All right, well, go King Kamehameha. I mean, he's out there making a nation while the rest of the Pacific Islands were all getting eaten up by colonization. I really love a good underdog story.
Totally, right? But don't get too excited, because it really didn't last that long.
Yeah, I know, you're right. But at some point, when it all did blow up, it was because the United States ended up with it. So, gotta fill in some blanks here.
Okay, yeah. So everything's going swimmingly for Hawaii for like the next 50 years. Thanks to big King K and all his lobbying to tell Europe and the United States to stay out of all his shit. So a little fun fact, well, not little, I guess, about King Kamehameha. After he's done making a country and stuff, he goes and establishes Hawaii's first constitution, Amanda, which transitioned the Hawaiian kingdom from an absolute monarchy to a constitutional monarchy. This guy was like a total visionary, for sure.
And for anybody who needs a quick little refresher on monarchies, an absolute monarchy gives the monarch unrestricted power over the government with zero legal restrictions, whereas a constitutional monarchy limits the monarch's power through the framework of a constitution, which often includes starting a parliament and making the king or queen more or less ceremonial while the elected people actually govern.
Perfect. Thanks for that really quick definition here. I love it. So it was like a really big thing for Hawaii and what really set them up to be like a way more effective society altogether. But nothing lasts forever, and so fast forward another 14 years, and King Kamehameha dies in 1854, and his nephew, Kamehameha IV, and then subsequently Kamehameha V, take over for a while and keep things going until, like, the 1870s.
Wait, I thought you just said it was a constitutional monarchy until now. So why did his nephews get to be in charge?
Okay, so I had to look that up, because the Constitution had a provision that retained something called, air quotes, hereditary succession, until all the Kamehamehas were dead, I guess.
Huh.
And that didn't happen until 1872, when Kamehameha V died, the last in line with no successors. That part of the Constitution kicked in, where they elected a new king. And, drum roll,
da-da-da-da.
Thank you very much. And that distinction went to King Lunalilo, who, in 1873, became the first officially elected king for the Kingdom of Hawaii. But that only lasted for like 3 seconds. And the following year, King Lunalilo died from tuberculosis. So back to the grind and voting for a new king again. So then in 1874, they elect King Kalakahua, who basically keeps the train on the track till around 1890, and all is well once again. But then just like everything else we ever talk about on the podcast, rich white people write history. In the early 1890s, American and European business interests, backed by our very own U.S. government, of course, orchestrate a little coup against the last reigning monarch, Queen Liliuokalani, which basically led to the illegal overthrow of the Hawaiian kingdom.
That is horrible. Seriously?
Military force, in an independent nation. We totally violated international law. We suck.
We totally suck. And I really don't like learning about history sometimes, but how did everyone like be okay with that?
They weren't okay with that. They're still not okay with that.
But not even just Hawaii, but like...
Because of American and like European business interests. It's terrible. It's all about money and greed, and it sucks. So Queen Liliuokalani's overthrow was officially the end of the Hawaiian monarchy, as we know it. And Hawaii was ultimately annexed by the United States in 1898, despite some massive opposition from the native Hawaiians, I may add, becoming a U.S. territory, and then finally in 1959, our 50th state.
That's a lot to take in. Like, did the U.S. ever apologize? No wonder why Hawaii as a whole hate us.
So we actually did apologize.
Did we?
Sort of. So this fits into our podcast perfectly. So it took us like 100 years to do it. In 1993, to be exact, on the 100-year anniversary of the initial overthrow, a bunch of Hawaiians, like thousands of big-ass Hawaiian dudes, gathered at Aeolani Palace in Honolulu, where the queen last reigned. And they protested all the historical injustices they faced for the last 100 years. And let's cut the shit, they also partied a little bit and honored their last queen, Queen Liliuokalani, that we were just talking about. So in response, in that same year, 10 months later, mind you, on November 23rd, the U.S. Congress finally gets off their asses and passed something known as the Apology Resolution, which was signed into law by then-President Bill Clinton. So this resolution formally acknowledged, and I quote, the U.S. government's role in the illegal overthrow of the Hawaiian kingdom and expressed regret for the historical injustices committed against Native Hawaiians.
Well, why didn't we then just give Hawaii back?
Because we suck. Because okay. It wasn't a real, remember, it was a sort of apology?
Okay.
So bear with me. So this resolution includes three key acknowledgments. So first, that it was an illegal act carried out without the consent of the Hawaiian people or their government. Second, that we inflicted harm and injustices on Native Hawaiians as a result of the overthrow, which led to huge losses, like in terms of their land, culture, and of course their political autonomy because all the businessmen wanted to take over. And third, we expressed a commitment to a process of reconciliation with Native Hawaiians. Kind of weak. Because it didn't specify like any specific reparative actions or grant legal fixes or anything. It just sort of was like, yeah, we'll commit to sort of trying to reconcile.
So a little too late and not super heavy on any real concrete action.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, it seemed like it was more symbolic than anything else.
Yeah. No reparations. Reparations, Jerry. Reparations. Shout out to Seinfeld. Oh, my God. That's like the best episode. George wants reparations. No land restitution. Or any legal claims to gain back any sovereignty. So, like, in my opinion, big swing and a miss. Totally, totally inchoate. Inchoate all over the place, Amanda.
Good job. Good job getting
it. Right? Like, it's inchoate. Totally vague and not, like, fully formed or developed, right? Like, seriously. This is terrible shit. If there's any good news here, it's that at the very least, we officially acknowledged we were dicks and took responsibility for Hawaii's loss of sovereignty.
Dude, that's a pretty low bar. Pretty low bar.
Yeah, I know. But at least now they don't have to hide in the shadows anymore. They can now openly protest and advocate for their rights and give the U.S. government some shit in hopes to start gaining back some of what they lost.
Yeah, but is anyone actually listening?
Time will tell.
So after all these years of not celebrating Hawaiian Independence Day, the U.S. put the kibosh on the whole thing, or at least made them hide in the shadows, like you said. How do Hawaiians feel about celebrating it now? Is there like a resurgence going on? Do we need to start one?
Okay, so good question. So I had the same question when I was researching the episode. So I found just enough information to be sort of sophisticated. So bear with me. So from 1900, about the time the United States annexed Hawaii, up through the 1950s, it was like the dark ages for Hawaii. They faced massive suppression and got a ton of shit for trying to advocate for themselves. They did form a few groups, though, I found. One was called Hui Aloha Aina, and another called Hui Kalai Aina, to formally oppose annexation and restore the monarchy. But they just got shit on and mostly ignored. And in 1959, Hawaii, of course, became our 50th and final state, despite the massive objections of like every Hawaiian native that ever lived, like I said earlier.
Of course they did.
So in the 1960s, there actually was a resurgence of sorts during what is known as the Hawaiian Renaissance. They had their own renaissance. These people are amazing. It was the beginning of sort of like this cultural revival where everyone just walked outside one day and was like, hey, we've had it. That's it. Shit is about to get real. So they got all their Hawaiian juices flowing again and got up all in their feels about like their native language and their traditions and their whole history, really, and took another crack at the whole sovereignty movement and started speaking out for land rights and their heritage and the whole idea of being their own country again. And here we are, 50 years later, and that movement is still gaining momentum, with some native groups working towards federal recognition, while some other groups are going for the whole enchilada, complete independence.
Do you think they're going to get it?
What the hell do I know? I'm not smart enough to figure all this stuff out. I can barely hold my shit together to host this podcast episode. But I'll tell you this.
What?
I'm rooting for them.
I am too.
Because we always pick underdogs, Amanda.
Gotta love the underdog. But wait, if they become their own country, then we're not allowed to go.
Dude, I think we're still allowed to go.
But you need a passport.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about that. Because now we'll have to wait in immigration lines at the airport and stuff, won't we?
And then will they keep using the dollar?
I don't even know. You're getting way too sophisticated. This is going to be terrible. I have to wait in immigration line and we won't use the same currency?
Wow, you sound like a very entitled American right now.
Okay, sorry. Okay, I take all that back. I love you, Native Hawaiians. I am rooting for anything you want. I would still like to come visit and I will be very respectful. How's that?
Better.
Okay, thank you. Perfect.
All right, well then tell us a little bit about how they celebrate Independence Day or Lakuakoa. I want to know the deets. Does the island turn into a full-on party or what? I've never actually been there on November 28th, though now I want to be there.
Right.
And Hawaiian is having a deal right now, so maybe we should go.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe we're not even invited to celebrate with them on November 28th. I don't know if we're allowed to jump on a plane. We're going to have to see. So
I'm going to ask Selena right now.
Okay, get on. You ask your friend while we keep going. Is that all right? Okay. So they do a little bit better than like the average American on 4th of July, like just getting drunk and accidentally lighting themselves on fire, right? Like, let's be honest. But you do have to remember that Lakuakoa is more of a symbol of resilience and pride than it is like a massive party. It's a way of honoring Hawaiian ancestors for their part in trying to protect Hawaii's sovereignty and cultural identity in the first place.
All right, so not a party. Got it.
Okay, so more like events and stuff. Like, for example, they have something called ho'okupu, or a traditional offering. And this is where they pay respect to their ancestors through like prayers and ceremonies with presentations of leis and other cool stuff, like at different cultural sites or historic landmarks on the islands.
I love this.
How could you not?
I know. It's great.
Okay. Then they also host educational events and lecture workshops where they share the history and legacy of their people and have like discussions on sovereignty to keep up like the good fight for the younger generation so they can pass it all down, right? And then there's parades because, let's be honest, who doesn't love a parade? They do traditional dances, play music on OG Hawaiian instruments. The whole idea is to engage the community in the power of storytelling of their history and culture. And then finally, there's something called paina, or a party. Like, a lot of families celebrate by making a traditional feast to commemorate their independence. Like koi, fish, pig, limu, breadfruit, like all the good stuff, right? A lot of drinking, a lot of storytelling. My kind of people, for sure.
No fireworks.
Well, maybe a few fireworks. I don't know. I guess we got to go there and find out.
Let's go. I told you, there's a deal.
There's a deal, dude.
All right. Well, is there anything else we need to know to cover or is the history lesson complete?
No, I'm good. Nothing else from my end on Lakuakoa.
Okay. Well, let's keep the aloha vibes going with a little twist because it's fun fact time. But are there actually any fun facts about Hawaiian independence?
There is always fun facts.
Well, but they're not. That's not true. They are fun facts, but they're not fun facts.
We got facts. So the idea of the adjective here, fun, just simply means cool facts. How's that? Should we change this whole thing to cool facts?
Maybe.
Fun facts is a better alliteration, okay?
It is.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay. Number one. Did you know that Hawaii was one of the first non-European countries in the world to gain formal recognition as a sovereign state?
Wait, what? That doesn't even make any sense. Didn't you just say it was granted independence in like 1843 or something? And yeah. I'm sure there had to have been others before that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there were others before that, but like this is like this is the time when like the United States, France, Britain, like international diplomacy was coming together. Like we were making a framework of like governments communicating. So this was like the first country that they were like big government was like, we all agree that you are independent. Like
it was
before
like a
that
global it was, agreement.
Yeah,
versus...
yeah. Before that, it was just like, oh, I'm independent. Oh, hey guys, I'm over here being independent. It doesn't work that way. Got it. This was like a big deal.
So it's a huge milestone.
This was massive, right? Because like, you got to remember at the time, all this like Western imperialism was like spreading across the Pacific like wildfire, Amanda. So good on King Kamehameha for standing up for Hawaii, right?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Speaking of King Kamehameha, Did you know that he was the longest reigning monarch in Hawaiian history?
I did not.
Totally. He ruled for 29 years and did all sorts of awesome shit for his people before dying suddenly of a stroke at the age of 40.
Wait, 40?
40.
Wait, the math doesn't make sense. If he reigned for 29 years, that would have made him like 11 years old when he became king.
Okay, so first that math worked perfect. And yes, indeed, he was 10 or 11 when he became king.
What?
Seriously.
How does that happen?
Yeah, so his brother, King Kamehameha II, and his wife, Queen Kamamalu, died when they were just 27 years old after visiting London and contracting measles.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, because Hawaiians didn't have any defense mechanisms against white man diseases and stuff. So, because King Kamehameha III was so young, Queen Regent Kaʻumanu, one of Kamehameha I's wives, and a bunch of other chiefs acted on his behalf until he was old enough.
That's wild. So when was he deemed old enough?
That's a good question. I'm assuming 18, right? Okay, fun fact 3. Hawaiian Independence Day is not the same day as statehood. Never, ever make that mistake, people. If you haven't figured it out by now, Hawaii Independence Day, La Kuakoa, celebrates a whole different part of Hawaii's history than U.S. Statehood Day, which is on August 21st, 1959. Statehood Day, of course, is when Hawaii was integrated into the United States, while La Kuakoa commemorates Hawaii's recognition as a sovereign nation, which is what we've been talking about this whole episode.
Got it. And I would say the latter is more exciting to celebrate anyways.
Way more exciting. Absolutely. Okay. Fun fact 4. So if you're talking with Hawaiians, don't confuse La Kuakoa with La Hoʻi Hoʻihea. So Hawaii also celebrates something called Restoration Day on July 31st, or La Hoʻi Hoʻihea, marking the specific day when sovereignty was restored after a brief British occupation. Not to be confused with La Kuakoa, the day Britain, France, and the U.S. officially recognized Hawaii as a sovereign nation. Like, however many days later. I think it was like, what, November, whatever. Well, I shouldn't say. Oh, my God. On November 28th. Okay, number 5. Hawaii has its own national anthem. Let's go. It's called Hawaii Pono'i, composed by King David Kalakaua and his royal bandmaster at the time. And you can still hear it sung with pride in Hawaii today.
That's awesome. I love it.
It totally is. Okay, and finally, number 6. Hawaii has its own independence flag. Not to be confused with its other two flags.
So they have 3 flags.
Yes, they do. They have 3 flags. So they have their state flag, right? The one like in 1959. Okay, that's the red and white and blue one with the Union Jack in the top corner and the 8 stripes representing the 8 islands. Then they have the controversial Kanaka Maoli, or what is known as the Native Hawaiian flag that was more recently introduced in 2001. Check this out. It's suggested that the unearthed design was resurrected from an original Hawaiian green, red, and yellow striped flag that was destroyed by British Navy Captain Lord George Paulette. Remember him at the beginning when he seized Hawaii for 5 months in 1843 and maintained that it was Kamehameha's personal flag long before the modern Hawaiian flag. So shout out to the Kanaka Maoli. Let's go. I love that flag. And then finally, there's the flag I'm talking about, which is called Hawaii's Independence flag that's flown on Independence Day. It's got 3 bars going across it horizontally, black, white, and gold, with a purple kahili in the middle.
What's a kahili?
Kahili is like a long pole with a cluster of feathers on one end. It's used as a symbol or emblem for the old Hawaiian chiefs, and it represents communication between heaven and earth.
That's so cool.
I know. So then the black and white bars on the top and bottom are supposed to represent the balance of all things, like yin and yang or night and day. And the gold bar across the middle represents our entire human family. And the color purple for the kahili represents the original inhabitants of the Hawaiian Islands, the Nā Kanaka Maoli.
I think that's really cool.
I know, right? So there you have it. Fun facts on La Kuakoa.
Well, and I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, probably, because it's hard for you to say La Kuakoa.
It's true.
Yeah. And I'm probably not saying it right either.
No. I mean, sorry, guys. Language is not my first love. Anyway, so before we wrap up, why don't you go ahead and give us a few things we need to remember, or better yet, go do to support Native Hawaiians and their Independence Day.
I love this. Okay, so I got a few of both. Some action stuff and some stuff to remember.
Let's go.
Okay, so first, start with the story of America's annexation of Hawaii on YouTube. An excellent documentary, I just watched this, on Hawaii's journey toward independence. It's got everything you need to know. Totally worth the watch for sure. I promise. When I do research, like I end up like watching stuff or figuring stuff. And then I get like so engrossed in this stuff. It's like not even funny. But I learn a bunch of stuff. And so it's super cool. Okay. Second, support native Hawaiian businesses. Show your appreciation by supporting Hawaiian-owned stores, cafes, or artisans, both online and locally. And like obviously here from where we live in California, online makes all the sense in the world. Look for Hawaiian jewelry, clothing, art, food, like anything. Your purchases make a very meaningful difference in sustaining Hawaiian culture and their community. Third, donate to organizations fighting for Hawaiian rights. Support nonprofits like the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, the OHA, and the Kahuliau Center for Excellence. These guys champion land rights, educational initiatives, and legal support for Native Hawaiians. Every contribution counts in keeping the spirit of independence alive. Fourth, spread the word on Hawaii's history. When Hawaii Independence Day rolls around, like next week, people, share with your friends how Hawaii was the only U.S. state that was once a nation with its own monarchy. It's a powerful reminder of Hawaii's unique history and why it deserves recognition. And finally, share these interesting and relevant details to seem sort of sophisticated. Lakuakoa celebrates Hawaii's recognition as a sovereign nation on November 28, 1843. King Kamehameha III secured international recognition of Hawaii's independence from Britain and France after the British temporarily took control in the Paulette Affair. This day was considered a huge victory, symbolizing resilience and pride in Hawaiian sovereignty. Number two, Hawaii was an independent nation with its own monarchy and even a constitution before U.S. annexation. King Kamehameha III established Hawaii's first constitution, transitioning it from an absolute monarchy to a constitutional monarchy, allowing the kingdom to operate more effectively and retain its culture while governing under a legal framework. They were organized, people. And finally, celebrations of Lakuakoa focus on Hawaiian cultural pride and remembrance rather than big, flashy events. Hawaiians observe the day with ceremonies, traditional offerings, educational events, and family gatherings to honor their ancestors' efforts to protect their sovereignty and cultural identity. It's a day of pride, heritage, and the enduring spirit of Hawaii.
All right, and there you have it, fellow listeners, the story of Hawaiian Independence Day, or as we now know it, Lakuakoa. Just think, the next time someone talks about Hawaii as our 50th state, you'll know that it really wasn't that simple. So maybe skip the luau tourism hype and say, actually, I'm here to celebrate a little something called independence. Lakuakoa is more than just a date on the calendar. It's a chance to honor a kingdom that stood strong in the face of global powers and remember a culture that continues to thrive with resilience and pride. So if we've done our job right today, you're leaving a little more sophisticated, maybe even ready to spark some lively conversations, and you might even become that person who can drop a quick did you know at a barbecue or politely educate that one friend who still thinks Hawaii's history started with surfing. If you've enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe, drop a review, and share it with the people who like to keep things a little more interesting. Until next time, maybe think twice before tossing around any Aloha State stereotypes. Stay curious and stay inspired.
Okay, hey, keep recording. Do you know how to say stay curious and stay inspired in Native Hawaiian?
I do not.
Okay.
Are you going to try?
So I am going to try.
And we are going to say sorry ahead of time.
We are. E noho ike pili means stay curious, and e noho ho'oulu means stay inspired. How do you like that?
I love it.
Who would have known?